It was this last Wednesday when I realized I had not prepared ahead for Pentecost as I usually do. Usually I'm working way ahead of time. And so this, since this Sunday would be Pentecost, I wondered what I might speak about. I've covered a lot of things on Pentecost. I had been studying Ezekiel 38 through 39, and that brought me to the last three feasts of Israel. Pastor Darrell has been speaking about the feast days, and I had asked him for a certain book that he had been using, and I thought maybe I'd get a thought out of this book. And what caught my interest was the trumpets. The writer mentioned in connection with Pentecost. For many years, I had pondered the last trumpet that Paul speaks about in 1 Corinthians 15, and I decided to focus study on that. I did not know how much study that would cause for me, but 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 52 says this: "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Anybody know the next words? That's because there are not too many people here. So now. At the last trumpet. Good. At the last trumpet. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And right now, it would be nice to have Sunday school and say, what do you think is the last trumpet? So that is our question. Just what is this last trumpet? If this is the last trumpet, what is it last to? There must be at least one or more trumpets before this one. What is this last trumpet? It is this trumpet that has led some to think it refers to the seventh and last trumpet of the book of Revelation. Since that trumpet happens at the end of the tribulation, it is argued that Christ will catch up the church at the end of the tribulation, so that makes a post-tribulational rapture. That the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15 has to do with the catching up of the church is clear from the passage. Since Pentecost commemorates the birth of the church and the last trumpet has to do with the catching up of the church, I began to see if I could find what the phrase last trumpet might mean. Others conclude that it is a trumpet blown on the Feast of Trumpets. This feast follows the Feast of Pentecost. I believe the seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapter 2 through 3, among other things, speaks of the entire church age. The last church is what church? Revelation 2 and 3. Laodicea. The democratic church and the lukewarm church. I believe that is where we are. And that means we are close to the time of the sounding of the last trumpet, the catching up of the church. So we believe, however, that the rapture is imminent and therefore cannot happen at the end of the tribulation. If the great catching up, the rapture, happens at the end of the tribulation, then his coming at the rapture is no longer imminent because the tribulation has to start before Christ can come. So let's first briefly consider the historical day. You might turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Pentecost is the fourth of seven Jewish feasts. Turn to Leviticus 23. I guess you're doing this. Chapter gives all seven feasts, and they are given in the order in which they occur. So we begin in verse 1. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, this is the first Heliodah, the first holy day for the Jewish people. Then in verses 4 through 15, we have the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits. In the first section of three feasts, one feast lasts 7 days long. By the way, in the last section, there's one feast that lasts 7 days long as well. Now, on the first and last of those seven-day feasts, which could happen at any time in the week, those were Sabbaths as well, the first and the last day. So in 1 week, you would have three Sabbaths. The first day is a Sabbath, then the regular Sabbath, then the last day is a Sabbath. In verses 15 through 22, we have Pentecost. We'll read that. And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offerings. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering and 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord, and the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now this fourth feast falls between two groups of three feasts. Three in the beginning, 3 at the end. This one comes in between. These first 4 feasts have been fulfilled. The last 3 await fulfillment. The first 3 speak of Christ's first coming. The last 3 speak of Christ's second coming. Now, this middle feast, it's a most interesting feast. It's called Pentecost, meaning, what does it mean, Pentecost? 50 days. You will notice in verse 20 that the word first fruits is used in this feast as well as the feast before it, which is the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits is the first fruits of the barley harvest. Any farmers here? What's first in harvesting, barley or wheat? Barley. All right, so the Feast of First Fruits is the first fruits of the barley harvest. And the Feast of Fruits of Pentecost is the fruits of the wheat harvest. All of this you are familiar with from Pastor Darrell's messages. Pentecost, the day we are commemorating today, is the day on which the church was born. It is most interesting that this should be so. Let me just read from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. Not many days after this, Judaism, as it was known up till that time, came to an end and has never been in existence like that even to this very day. There's no temple to this very day. Now, we won't spend time here. You are also very familiar with the teaching of Paul in Ephesians 3. We spent a lot of time on that, on the church, Jew and Gentile becoming one body. Daniel prophesied of 77s. Of years for Israel. 69 were fulfilled when Christ died. The 70th week has never come, and the church is in between. That is what is the 70th week hasn't been fulfilled yet, and it's coming. That is a time we call the tribulation period of 7 years. Daniel said those 70 weeks were determined on whom or what?
Your people
and the city of Jerusalem. It's a Jewish time period, just like the 69 before. In between is Jew and Gentile. So the time in between those 69 weeks and the 70th is the time of the church age, which has now been in existence around 2,000 years. Now in Leviticus 23, we have two loaves baked with leaven. Verse 17 says, "You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord." I believe that those two loaves speak of Jew and Gentile, the two, becoming one body in Christ. By the way, the Jews are having Pentecost just about the same time we are. They're not all agreed on which day it is, whether it is Saturday or Sunday. Now, the fact that there is leaven in this bread pictures, I believe, that the church is made up of sinners, sinners who have become saints. Leaven is not usually associated with the feasts of the Jews, but here it is, and that, I believe, is the reason. That these two loaves spoke of Jew and Gentile becoming one in Christ was a mystery. Listen, it was a mystery until God revealed to the Apostle Paul what this was all about. The Jews never knew what it referred to. They don't to this very day. You can read their material and it's very interesting, but it has no biblical substance. So we want to look at the significance of the last trumpet. There were many uses of the trumpets. This Chumney of the book that I mentioned before lists 19 uses of the trumpet. For the temple service, they had two kinds of trumpets. There was the shofar made of the ram's horn, the one we're familiar with, and then they had the silver trumpet. Both had their special uses. Now, the trumpet we are looking at is the ram's horn, called the shofar in Judaism. The blowing of these trumpets on all their occasions was done by the priests, not the Levites. The Levites had the responsibility of the music. We want to explore what this last trumpet is. The first question we have, is the last trumpet the seventh and last trumpet of the book of Revelation, as post-tribulationists teach? Consider now 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 52, where we have the expression, the last trumpet. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So here we find that the rapture happens at the last trumpet. The connection of this passage to the rapture is clear from 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. Let me read that for you. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." So here we note the trumpet and the rapture tied together. So no doubt this refers to the great catching up. That's the word we translate rapture. However, listen to Matthew 24:31, which speaks of Christ's second coming. It says, "And he will gather his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So we have a trumpet and we have the second coming, not the rapture. Here the trumpet is clearly blown at the second coming of Christ. The whole passage, and especially the last two verses before this one, show that. Listen to them. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So here we have the second coming. This happens at the end of the tribulation. So does that indicate that the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation? That would be supported by the view that the seventh trumpet of Revelation is also the same as the one called the last trumpet in our text. And that happens at the end of the tribulation. Listen now to Revelation 11:15, which talks about this trumpet. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." This is the seventh, this is the last trumpet. All of this makes a case for the view that the catching up, the rapture, will happen at the end of the tribulation. Our next question is the last trumpet the last trumpet of the Feast of Trumpets? Some Jewish groups blow the trumpet 100 times on the Feast of Trumpets. And the last blowing is a long, significant blowing. Is that the last trump? It is a most tempting thing to, and many make this error, I think, to see the rapture as happening on the Feast of Trumpets. So tell me what the problem with that. You know the day is coming. It means it's not imminent anymore, or as we see it. So, but it is a most perfectly chronological order. Passover happened on the precise calendar date that the feast was kept. And so did the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so did the Feast of First Fruits. And so did the Feast of Pentecost. So trumpets will happen on the same day it's kept. So if the first four feasts happened the precise date, the fulfillment happened one... let me read that again. If the first four feasts happened the precise date the fulfillment happened, one can hardly do other than conclude that the last three feasts will happen on the date on which they are kept. The natural conclusion is that since the Feast of Trumpets is next in line and the rapture is next in line, it must happen on the Feast of Trumpets. The book by Eddie Chumney, who I think must be Jewish, says, "One of the reasons for blowing the shofar is to proclaim the resurrection of the dead." By the way, I don't think the Jews, I have to say this carefully, really knew what the fulfillment of these trumpets was about. They came up with all kinds of fanciful things. It's amazing how much they got and how much they didn't get, my perspective. So he says, in addition, the 13th principle of the Jewish faith is belief in the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead will take place on Rosh Hashanah, that's the Feast of Trumpets. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, the Apostle Paul tells us that the resurrection of the dead will be at the last trump. So he concludes, it seems to me, that the rapture happens on the Feast of Trumpets. I'm quoting now again. We cannot go to the book of Revelation and say that the voice of the seventh angel, Revelation 11:15, is the last trump. In the first century, the last trump, shofar, meant a specific day of the year. In Judaism, there are three trumpets, this is worth noting down, that have a name. They are the first trump, the last trump, and the great trump. Each of these trumpets indicates a specific day in the Jewish year. The first trumpet is blown on the feast of, want to guess? Pentecost, the day we have now. Exodus 19:19 was read for us before. It proclaimed, and I'm still quoting, that God had betrothed himself to Israel. The last trump is synonymous with Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. According to Theodore Gaster in his book, festivals of the Jewish year in his chapter on Rosh Hashanah. Herman Keevil also states the same thing in his book, The High Holy Days, in the chapter on the shofar. The great trumpet is blown on Yom Kippur, which will herald the return of the Messiah, Yeshua, back to earth. Matthew 24:31, end quote. Now, all of this makes it tempting to see the last trumpet as referring to the Feast of Trumpets. But the problem is that if one connects the trumpet at the rapture with the Feast of Trumpets, then one knows the day it will happen. You don't have to, 364 days of the year, you don't have to wait. One day you have to wait for his return. Amir Sarfati says, every year at the Feast of Trumpets, he gets all these calls, will the rapture happen at the Feast of Trumpets? But if Christ's coming is imminent, then the last trumpet of our discussion cannot refer to the Feast of Trumpets either. The last view is that the last trumpet is the last of seven blowings of the trumpet to call people to worship. This is Amir Sarfati's rule, view, if I understood him right. He says that at the southwestern corner of the temple, there was a little niche where the priest would stand to blow the trumpet. Now, this niche faced most of the city, so that's why it was there. It was blown for many things, but every time the Sabbath or a holy day was approaching, for the Jews, the shofar was blown. The first trumpet was to get the attention of those people who were further out. The second trumpet was blown for those who were closer in to start heading in. The third was for those who were close to the walls but outside. The fourth was for those who were inside to get into their homes. The sixth was that they now needed to come. The seventh was the final one. After this, it was too late to come. He believes God has been trying to get our attention, and after the last one, it will be too late. Well, I give my personal conclusions to all this. I'm only giving it as a view. You understand, it's pretty hard to be, you shouldn't be dogmatic about this, so you understand that. First, with regard to the last trumpet being the trumpet of the seventh angel, if they are viewed as being the same trumpet, that causes some major difficulties. Let me list a few. First, in Revelation 15, it is the trumpet of an angel, but at the rapture, it is the trumpet of what? What's that? Trumpet of the Lord, trumpet of God. Second, the trumpet in Revelation brings about a great earthquake and lightnings and thunderings and great hail. The trumpet of God brings about great blessings as believers are caught up to be with the Lord. Now, I guess you could see those together. But third, the trumpet in Revelation 11 brings about wrath. The trumpet at the rapture brings about comfort. Fourth, the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation. So for 7 years, one will know when it will occur. When the tribulation begins, you can start counting off years and you'll have a good idea when Christ is coming. But Jesus taught that no one knows the day or the hour, not even he himself. If the catching up of the church happens at the end of the tribulation, then it is no longer imminent because the tribulation has to happen first. Furthermore, if the rapture is at the end of the tribulation, that causes great difficulties in answering the difference between the two events, the rapture and the second coming. I have given you these before, but let me go through them in light of our subject. I'm not going to give all the references for the sake of time. If anyone wishes them, I'd be glad to give them later. Number one, at the rapture, Christ's coming is unexpected and life is as usual. At the second coming, life is anything but as usual. They beg for the hills to fall on them and die, because they could die. At the rapture, the Lord comes in the clouds of the air. At the second coming, he comes all the way down to earth. At the rapture, the righteous are taken to heaven. At the second coming, the righteous inherit the millennial kingdom. At the rapture, only the saved are gathered to the Lord. At the second coming, the righteous and the wicked are gathered before the Lord. At the rapture, there is no judgment before the righteous reach their destination. At the second coming, the righteous are first judged. At the rapture, the unrighteous remain on earth and go. The unrighteous remain on earth and go into the tribulation. At the second coming, the unrighteous are removed from the earth and cast into hell. At the rapture, the righteous are removed from the earth while the unrighteous are left on it. At the second coming, the righteous remain on earth while the unrighteous are removed from it and cast into hell. At the rapture, the bodies of the righteous are changed and they do not reproduce anymore. At the second coming, the bodies of the righteous are not changed and they repopulate the earth. At the rapture, Christ comes for the church. At the second coming, he comes from heaven with the church. At the rapture, number 10, only the righteous are judged. At the second coming, the righteous and the unrighteous are judged. At the rapture, the righteous are taken to heaven and then judged. At the second coming, the righteous are judged and then told to come and inherit the kingdom of God. So my conclusion is that the trumpet at the rapture is not the trumpet of the seventh angel in the book of Revelation. Then with regard to the last trumpet referring to the Feast of Trumpets, the question is, what does the Feast of Trumpets prophesy? Every feast is prophetic, every one of them. The first four have been fulfilled. The last three await fulfillment. It is my conclusion that the Feast of Trumpets is not fulfilled at the rapture. Rather, it will be fulfilled when Christ comes at the second coming, not at the rapture. So it's when the Lord descends from heaven with the church, not for the church. I believe it is the second coming of Jesus Christ that is fulfilled, a fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets and not the rapture. Now, let me just say that if some of my conclusions don't match Pastor Darrell's, don't string either one of us up. Let me dare to make a little prophecy. And please don't string me up if I'm wrong either. In the 1800s, studies and conclusions regarding Israel becoming a nation and the rapture began to happen in earnest. Various views came forward. Eventually, more and more agreement came because one is studying one is studying another way, and after a while, they came closer and closer together. When I was young, pre, mid, and post-tribulation was the big debate. Today, it's pretty well pre-trib. There has the greatest amount of unity has come. As with numerous other doctrines from the early church on, it takes time and a lot of study and a lot of various views until there is agreement as to what it's all about. I predict that in days to come, various views of what happens after the tribulation begins will be studied more and more. It's happening right now, actually. Those will be studied and restudied, and different views will take place. And then after much study and debate, a picture is going to emerge that most premillennialists will come to agreement on. It is like that with Psalm 83. Some think it's a very big thing. Some think it's not even prophetic. These are big name people. Ezekiel 38 and 39. There is just very little agreement on a lot of this. But it's going to come more and more as more and more views are studied and taught. So if I am correct that the Feast of Trumpets will take place at Christ's coming to earth, at the end of the tribulation, then the last two feasts will certainly be fulfilled on the exact date when they are kept, just like the first five did. So what then is this last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15? So let us pick up the clues, and I find only a few. If it is the last trumpet, there must be at least one or two more. Is that correct? Has to be. In 1 Corinthians 15, it is called the last trumpet. Then the parallel passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, says it is the trumpet of God. It also adds that there will be a shout and the voice of an archangel. These are our clues. First, we must recognize that the shofar, or ram's horn, or trumpet we are talking about here, had many uses in the Old Testament. Eddie Chumney lists 19 different uses. So it was not until not only used at the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet which speaks of the rapture is called the trumpet of God. Now, I do not find any other places where the trumpet is called the trumpet of God in Scripture, with the exception of Zechariah 9:14, and for the sake of time, I won't take it up here. When it speaks of the trumpet of God, I'm not sure whether it means God will blow the trumpet or it is his trumpet that is being blown. Chumney believes that God himself blows the trumpet, and that may well be. By the way, does anyone know what the historical significance is of Pentecost? What is it grounded on historically? Passover was the slaying of the lamb. Giving of the Holy Spirit.
Giving of the law.
Giving of the law. It was the giving of the law. That's the historical. Now, Chumney says that in the Jewish tradition, the first trumpet was blown at Pentecost. He gave as a reference Exodus chapter 19, verse 19. It was read for you before. You might turn there if you're not there now. This chapter speaks of the giving of the law. The reason he connects the giving of the law on Mount Sinai with Pentecost is that for the Jews, it commemorates the giving of the law. Pentecost is the day on which it was given. So, Exodus 19, verse 10. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying," by the way, just note in the reading of this how holy the giving of the law, how significant it is. "Saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Now you have to picture this. The mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. So here we have the Pentecost trumpet, and it is also the first trumpet of God. The Jews call this the first trumpet. I would agree with that. Remember, this is Pentecost, not the Feast of Trumpets. Earlier we said that if the trumpet at the rapture is the last trumpet, there must be at least one trumpet before that. I recommend that this is the first trumpet of God, and I have read others who hold that as well. The only other trumpet ever called the trumpet of God after this, with the exception of the passage I mentioned earlier, is the one of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And from that we could conclude that the trumpet at the rapture is the last trumpet of God. Chumney, probably following Jewish tradition, agrees that this is the trumpet of God. He says the first trumpet is associated with and blown by God on the feast of Shavuot, Pentecost, when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people at Mount Sinai. end quote. The claim here is that God himself blows the trumpet, and that may well be. Let me just add that the trumpet at the Feast of Trumpets is not called the trumpet of God, nor is the one at the end of the tribulation. When I listened to Amir, he said that the feasts are all Jewish feasts. However, from my studies, I would conclude that the Feast of Pentecost has a direct connection to the Gentiles. That connection is first found in the two loaves, and then it is clearly found in Acts chapter 2, where it is the fulfillment of Pentecost. Here, the church in which Jew and Gentile become one body was born on the day of Pentecost. Furthermore, it seems to me that the Jews have no idea what these two loaves meant. When I read of some of their views, they are very far-fetched. The famous Rabbi Lubavitcher, he died here just a few years ago in Israel. Some thought he was the Messiah. He was so highly revered. I quote him, "The Omer, the Shtai Lechem," talks about these two loaves, offering, represent two stages in the services of God that the Israelites experienced on their journey out of Egypt, a journey that we are empowered to re-experience each year. And I have no idea where he gets this. It's a very broad guess, I would say. Now, according to Chumley, the Jews connect the last trumpet with the Feast of Trumpets. No doubt they did not know about the church and the rapture from the Old Testament. No one knew that. The church and the prophetic meaning of Pentecost was a mystery until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so here's my question. Could the last trumpet of Pentecost be connected to the rapture of the church rather than the second coming? Just as the two loaves at Pentecost picture Jews and Gentile becoming one, does the last trumpet picture the rapture of the one body made up of Jews and Gentiles being caught up? That would mean God himself blew the trumpet at Mount Sinai, which pictures, we're speaking prophetically of the church, and blows it for the last time when the church is caught up. To me, this seems the most likely. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. There's another clue to the meaning of the last trumpet, found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which says that at the rapture, the Lord descends with a shout. Matthew 25 and the bridesmaids is interesting in this light. I view verses 1 through 13 as speaking of the rapture, not the second coming. Verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. When the bridegroom went for his bride, he was about at the appointed place where he would pick up the bridesmaids. And verse 6 says, 'A cry was made.' When Christ comes for his bride at the rapture, a shout is made." Though the word cry was made and the word for shout of 1 Thessalonians 4 are different, they may refer to the same event. Of the word shout in 1 Thessalonians 4, here's what Albert Barnes says about the word. He says the word here used does not elsewhere occur in the New Testament. It properly means a cry of excitement or of urging on or an outcry, a clamor or shout, as of sailors at the oar, of soldiers rushing to battle, of a multitude of people, of a huntsman to his dogs. It does not here mean that the Lord would himself make such a shout, but that he would be attended with it. that is, with a multitude who lift up the voice like that of an army rushing to conflict. 1 Thessalonians 4 mentions a shout and the trumpet. The shout and the trumpet would not be new, by the way, to the Feast of Trumpets, but the voice of an archangel is entirely new to the Feast of Trumpets. That is never said of any feast day. There may be one more connection to this last trumpet and the church, and it is that of marriage. But I'm going to leave that for another message, maybe next year. However, in short, the connection here to the church is that God made a new covenant, that is, in this marriage thing, and all those who enter this new covenant become part of the bride of Christ. And when the last trumpet sounds, Christ will pick up his bride to take her back to his Father's house. Now, regarding the call to worship of Amir, I'm no match for him in knowledge of prophetic things nor of Jewish things. But the view that it is the last trumpet of seven of a call to worship does not satisfy me for this. I wonder then, where do the other six happen, if that's the seventh one? So to conclude, Pentecost commemorates the giving of the law. But after the time of Christ for us as Gentiles who have become one body with a Jew, Pentecost commemorates the birth of the church. Every year when we have Pentecost, that's the significance. When God blew the trumpet at Sinai, as I see it, we have the first trumpet of God. When the church age is complete and we believe we are very near that time, then Christ will come to take his bride home. And as I see it, that speaks of the last trumpet. When that has taken place, then once more a Jewish time period will begin. So you see, you have these three feasts, it's Jewish. Then one in the middle, it's Jew and Gentile. Then three at the end, and it's Jewish again. So when that has taken place, then once more a Jewish time period will begin. It will be the 70th week of Daniel. When that time comes to a close, or shortly before, the Lord will return to earth, this time with the church, not for the church. And at this time, another trumpet will sound. So Matthew 24, maybe you want to turn to that. Matthew 24. We're going to read about the end of the tribulation. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When Jesus returns, there will be, and note the words, a great sound of a trumpet. Here is what I suggest. The trumpet at Mount Sinai was the first trumpet of God. The trumpet at the rapture is the last trumpet. The trumpet at the second coming is the great trumpet. That accounts for the three trumpets. Chumney connects the great trumpet of Isaiah 27:13 with Matthew 24:31, and he thinks it refers to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the highest holy day for the Jewish people, the feast after the Feast of Trumpets. So he connects it to that. But if Isaiah 27:13, which speaks of the great trumpet, connects with Matthew 24:31, if they go together, then the great trumpet is sounded on the Feast of Trumpets, not on Yom Kippur. If my conclusions are correct, then God will blow a trumpet for the first time at Mount Sinai at the giving of the law, which is also the day of Pentecost, which is connected to the church. Then at the rapture is the last time God will blow a trumpet, which is also connected with the church. This is when Christ comes to take his bride home to his Father's house. We believe that could happen at any time. And then at the second coming, the great trumpet will sound on the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets, remember, 100 blowings throughout the day, and then comes the last great blowing at the end. I suggest that on the Feast of Pentecost, the feast in between two sections of three feasts, when God blows the trumpet for the first time, that it pictures Jew and Gentile becoming one body in the church. I further suggest that the last trumpet then is the signal Jesus Christ has been waiting for. You know what Jesus said? No man knows the day or the hour, nor the Son. Now, I don't know if things have changed after he went, but that's what he said when he was on earth. Nobody knows the day or the hour. I'm suggesting that Jesus is waiting, just waiting for the day when God will blow the trumpet. It will be the last time he ever blows the trumpet. And both blowings, I suggest, have to do with the church. When this trumpet sounds, he has his Father's signal. It's time to go. You know what it's like for a bridegroom when it's time to go? That's what it's going to be like. And as soon as that trumpet sounds, an excited bridegroom leaves heaven, and he is on the way for the bride. I close with this. The statement mentioned a few times in the New Testament that the last shall be first and the first last has greatly interested me. In dealing with the parables of Christ, I came to this conclusion. I believe that's what it all signifies. That Israel, which was first, the church wasn't before Israel. Israel was first. The church, which was last, is going to be first. They're caught up first. They go to be with the Lord first. Afterward, after the tribulation, then it's the Jews' time. The first will be last. Since there are so many views on the meaning of the last trumpet, by the way, I was studying here a while ago on a certain subject. What was I on? Anyway, I was looking at the internet, and I looked for some information on this prophetic event, and I can find, Daniel 9:27. I was looking at for some information on this verse, and here's my question. I gave it to our church. When does the Antichrist break his peace agreement? Or does he break his peace agreement? It's your assignment for the summer, remember? Now, I cannot find anywhere where he breaks this agreement. Well, you say, well, read Daniel 9:27. Well, you read it. And I checked on the internet, and I can find virtually nothing of any significance to answer my questions. When I looked at this last trumpet, lists of stuff, and different views as to what it means. So I believe when Almighty God blows this trumpet the next time, we're going, as Wayne told us this morning, he had a dream. Well, maybe we'll be encouraged to live for the Lord, spend our life as if today might be the last.